Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. We're back. Marks and Reese. Johnny Marks. Ike Reese. Well, a lot of early Phillies conversation after that 2-5 road trip, Ike. Last night's game, pretty embarrassing. Pretty bad. They're off today. We'll get back into the Phillies conversation. But joining us right now, our Eagles reporter. He was live at practice today where there was fisticuffs. Right? And his name's Elliot Stewart Parks, and he gives us the lowdown. Elliot, what's up, brother?
Man, first real fight at training camp, and it was supposed to be a light practice today. So definitely a surprise down at the Novacare.
That's what I'm wondering about, ESP. I'm like, I thought today was a light practice. What are they out there fighting over? Somebody going too hard? Or what did you gather from how this sort of started?
Yeah, so today was a 10-10-10, which is basically a glorified walkthrough. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it was just incredibly intense. Andre Dillard kind of got it started. He hit Jonathan Cyprian. I should say blindside blocked would be a better way to describe it, during a play, which Cyprian certainly didn't like. He had to be restrained. And then a few plays later, and I'm sure this is why he did it, Derek Barnett went after Dillard because of that. And at the end of the play, they were on the ground kind of fighting, I guess would be the best way to describe it. And then a bunch of teammates ran over to both kind of get in on it, but then also to break it up.
So, right, right.
It was real intense. I mean, all the players were talking about it after the practice. So.
I love when it's hard to figure out, okay, who's out here trying to be a peacemaker and who's out here escalating this situation, because I could fall on either side of that fence depending on what just happened.
No, Ike would try to instigate it, then he would try to break it up once he realized it needed to be broken up.
Because here's the thing. If something happens like what Elliot is reporting, that Andre Dillard took a cheap shot at Jonathan Cyprian, then I'm going to be pissed off like Derek Barnett
was.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I'm not going to be looking to be a peacemaker for something that's just innocent and two guys are into it, then you break it up. But you best believe that defense was on the sidelines saying, I'm going to get him. A rookie did this to a guy, I'm going to get him. Yeah.
And especially a first-rounder. The defense has been having a good week of practice, and you can really tell the intensity they feel when they get a stop on the offense.
Right.
So I think that Andre Dillard, and I don't know if I would use the word cheap shot, just to clarify, but he did something Cyprian didn't like. So I think that the defense kind of bonded together again over like being saying to the rookie,
sure,
like, you're not going to do this to one of our guys.
Yeah, that happens.
So how long did it take to break up? We read what you were putting out there. Literally, it was 15 to 20 teammates. I mean, were they locked with the helmet? What exactly was going on?
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't sit there and count every player. All I know is both sidelines emptied, and there was a huge circle of players around the two guys on the floor. So It was a large group. I mean, look, and Doug Peterson was upset about it because after practice, him and Howie Roseman took time and talked to Andre Dillard. One of the first times I think I've ever seen Doug and Howie talk to one player two-on-one after practice in all my years covering the Eagles.
That's awesome.
And Jason Peters, who was a peacemaker in this instance, said afterwards that he encouraged Barnett to go over to Dillard after practice and just kind of shake hands and say everything was okay.
Which he did.
Yeah, which he did. And, you know, Peters and Barnett deserve credit for that.
Yeah. And when Jason suggests something, yeah, just go ahead
you
and do it. Just go ahead and do it.
It's not really a suggestion. It's more of walk over there and do that.
But I'm going to tell you what, just reading it from the studio here, right, from you reporting it. See, what that says to me with Doug and Howie is that Andre Dillard went and done something that was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And they must have recognized it also, right? And so you got to kind of pull him to the side as a young fella and just tell him, hey, we're teammates here. It's one thing to play hard and practice hard, but there are no pads on. This 10-10-10, let's take it down a notch. We're not trying to hurt each other. So that's why I'm kind of – and the fact that Jason wasn't out there swinging and sort of encouraged Derek to go over and just kind of squash it with Andre Dillard sort of leads me to believe that Jason probably saw where Andre Dillard – kind of probably was in the wrong in this. Yeah, he was probably in the wrong in this. Yeah.
And the other component to this, I'll say, is after the fight, Barnett and Dillard like had one more snap against each other in full 11 on 11. And Barnett was obviously upset, and it really kind of showed his potential. He pushed Andre Dillard back right into Wentz in maybe less than 2 seconds off the snap. He like really had a good play against the rookie. And as part of that, Wentz kind of had to jump back. I don't know if maybe Dillard stepped on his foot or something, but he had to move. And I think that that was probably a component of it as well, talking to Dillard.
Yeah, saying, that's not good.
Look, yeah, because remember, one of the reputations of Dillard coming out of college was he was maybe not, didn't have a mean streak in
soft.
Him. So I think he was trying to show that today.
Right.
I mean, that's why I kind of like it. And then I'm like, okay, you got to be smart, because I like the fact that he got a little, he got some feistiness to him. I like that.
Elliot, I had heard from somebody that he was really, really emotional. We're talking about Dillard here, to where it was taking some time for him to calm down. Did you see something similar?
Yeah, I will say that when Doug and Howie were talking to him, Andre was very emotional. I think would be a fair way to describe it. It looked like, I mean, Doug was consoling him a little bit. Like he was emotional about what had happened, and he kind of went right inside. So he tried to show the mean streak, and afterwards, Doug and Howie weren't too happy about it, and I think that upset Andre.
Emotional as in crying?
I was 30 yards away. I don't want to say whether he was crying or not, but I'll just say
I'll say it. It's been suggested without using those words, Ike. So while Elliot's not saying it, and I didn't see
down.
It.
I got to get down to the Novacare.
All right,
Lord.
So Elliot, it's weird. This weekend, I think for the first time all camp, we've seen that maybe Carson isn't having his best stretch of the year. Yeah. Now, you have some stats. You chart this. So you're charting everything that he does at practice. How has Carson, how has he been the last week or so?
So I'll say this. I've charted every pass Carson has thrown in training camp since he was a rookie. So I'm well aware of when he's having a good training camp, when he's having a bad training camp. Over the last 2 days, not including today because it was a 10-10-10, but the last two real practices, he's taken 101 snaps with the first-team offense. So this is kind of like a preseason game to them. This is how they view their preseason. He has 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, and it should really be 5 interceptions because, one, he threw right at the hands of Rasul Douglas on an errant pass, and Rasul dropped it. So Carson has not had a good last few days. I think overall, every day at camp, he makes 2 or 3 throws where it's eye-opening, and you say, wow, that was an amazing throw. But anybody that says that he's not having an issue with turnovers and accuracy is lying, because he misses 2 to 3 throws every day, and he has twice as many interceptions in camp already as he had all of 2017's training camp. So I don't know what the reasoning is, but he has had issues with turnovers.
All right, this could be a little difficult for you, ESP, but I need you to take that hater hat off of yours.
Don't lie. I'm just giving you numbers.
I'm with you there, but I'm just trying to get your perspective on whether or not what type of interceptions these are. Are these good plays by the defense, mm-hmm. or are they terrible throws by Carson? Overthrows, throwing in the double team? Because when a quarterback throws an interception in training camp, the flip side of that is your defense just picked the guy off.
Right.
So I'm wondering are these good plays from the defense, or are these bad throws from Carson?
So of the 9 interceptions he has, at least one of them was a really good play by Avonte Maddox. The ball, he threw it, Carson threw it into double coverage, it bounced up in the air, and then right before it hit the ground, Avonte went and grabbed it. So I would give that one as a credit to Avonte.
Okay.
Another one, it looked like it was a miscommunication with one of the young receivers. I tend to lean on Carson's side with that one because he threw it right to a defender. But he has had, the rest of them have been just errant throws, like either too far ahead of a guy, bad throws. He had a pass in 7-on-7 that the linebacker just jumped up and intercepted. So,
and that should never happen. You should never. That's an offensive drill. You don't throw interceptions in 7-on-7.
And that's part of the concern is I think out of 9 of his interceptions, 3 of them are in 7-on-7. And as you just said, as a former defensive player, for those who can't watch practice, 7-on-7 is an offensive drill. You should not be throwing interceptions in 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I think Carson might be struggling a little bit is because he has made, from what I can tell, a concerted effort to stand in the pocket during training camp. He's not been rolling out almost at all. I think he's done it twice, and one of the times he did it was one of his best throws at camp. It was like a 30-yard down the sideline to Alshon when he rolled out. Now, having watched Carson throughout his career, I think we would all agree he makes some of his best plays on the run, and in the pocket, he can be a little sketchier.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, agreed. You're right.
He's getting those reps in training camp in the pocket, and he hasn't been great because of it. But when the actual games start, I do think you'll see him move around a little bit.
He reminds me. He reminds me of Deshaun Watson as a quarterback like that. Like, I don't know how good Deshaun is from the pocket, right? He's almost better on the move using that athleticism, because as a threat to possibly run, he can open up windows because the defender has to make a decision. Do you come up or do you stay back? And I think with Carson, I think we'll all agree, he struggles throwing from the pocket more than we would like to see, and he's a better athlete on the run throwing the football.
He's not a natural pass.
No,
like,
he's not.
You want Jared Goff in the pocket because that's more of what
he
does.
He's more of a natural
right.
thrower from the pocket, yeah.
And one of Carson's issues is, and we all made fun of McNabb for it for years, when McNabb missed, he missed low. So it was embarrassing, but there was no damage done. When Carson misses, he misses high. That's a tendency he's had, and those lead to interceptions.
Yep.
And I say this to defend Carson, not to take a shot at him or anything, but I think sometimes there's a narrative around Carson where, well, if he's healthy, that's it. He's 2017 Carson. But Carson's only entering his fourth year, and he's missed considerable time. I think he should be afforded the right to know that he's not a completed prospect. Like, he's going to be rusty. He's coming in off of missing games last year, and then obviously we know what happened in 2017. There's still areas of his game that he needs to work on, and I think you've seen that in training camp.
Yep, there he is, Elliot Shore Parks. Great content this morning on the website, Elliot. You had your injury list with your worry meter and everything else that you're doing, so we appreciate it. And by the way, we're starting to get worried with the injuries as well. I guess we'll talk to you about that next time. But real quick, does Carson play Thursday night? Any better idea if he's playing or not?
I would say the chances of him playing in Jacksonville are very slim because of the fact that he's taken 101 reps in practice over the last 3 days. I think they view that as their preseason. I'm starting to think there's a better chance he plays in the third game, but I still think that overall you're going to see him for maybe 2-3 series all of preseason.
All right, there
as
he is.
As usual, ESP, you're on the opposite end of the spectrum with your boy. He's playing Thursday. He got to play Thursday. You know it, I know it. It's the Nikki Six Bowl. He has to play Thursday.
Well, only if Foles, look, if Foles plays, then the NFL owes it to us to play Carson. But if Foles isn't playing, then we can just sit Carson down and watch.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Foles is not going to play. You're
yeah,
right.
Maybe Marone, they're on the same page.
They don't
play Nick.
I don't know who the backup quarterback is in Jacksonville.
Me neither.
That's exactly right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right,
brother.
ESP.
Did he hang up on us before we hung up on him?
Yeah, that's not how this works. Does he know what show he's on?
Yeah, he said, all right, guys.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I'm out of here.
I went to hit the drop button. It was too late.
He's already gone.
Yeah, he might have, you know, who knows what he's got.
It's unacceptable.
Going on.
Man, we may have had more questions.
888-729-9494. Well, I mean, he knew we were wrapping it up. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom or something. Who knows? Maybe he's on deadline. No, we know he's not on that.
He works with us.
729-9494. Ike, I agree. Looks like that they're not going to play Carson Wentz. Does that matter? I don't think he plays this preseason. I'm just being honest.
Oh, yeah.
I do not.
Can't wait till we get out of the gate slow and blame Carson for everything.
I do not believe. And you know what? Risk reward. I don't know how much it's going to matter if you put him out there for 2 or 3 series when he throws the ball 10 times. It's not worth it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.